Hello, welcome everybody, and thank you so much for being with us today. Again, I am really excited to bring you today's guest. Today, I have Jenny Brueckelmann with me, and Jenny is a plumber on Galliano Island here in BC, and her story is amazing. I love it because it's so diverse and interesting, and I think it really shows the potential, the possibilities of it never being too late to start. And it doesn't matter where you come from or what your story is, you can be successful in the trades and in this industry. And so Jenny comes from what I know is Jenny was a graphic designer in her past life. She was also she is still a musician. She has a very artistic background, which I find very interesting as it kind of transfers over into the trades and all the art that she gets to create with her trade. So now Jenny is a plumber, and I'm going to let Jenny share her story of how she went from being a graphic designer to being a plumber on this small island. Jenny, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Coralie. I guess I became a graphic designer kind of by default because my mom was also a graphic designer. I just sort of fell into it. And I liked it. It was very rewarding in some ways, but I got tired of being glued to my computer all the time. Mm. Like, it got to the point where I was just, I could not sit down. I'd sit down and I would get up and do anything else other than sitting on my computer. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm burning out of this. Mm. And it was really nice to be able to work in pajamas at home. And I just really got tired of it. And I've always been into the trades. Like, I've always been into building my whole life. I started out being the only girl in the neighborhood. And so all the boys and I would get together and we'd build go-karts and we'd build forts. And I spent a lot of time in the alley, like barreling down the alley with these like soapbox carts.
Oh, yeah. Made. Yeah.
So that was like really, really a lot of fun for me. I had like an early kind of introduction to trades, but no real encouragement to continue because girls didn't do that sort of thing, really. I ended up coming back to it later in life after having been the graphic designer, burning out, and then moving to Galliano. I bought a house that was really fixer upper slash terror downer. And being a single mom, I could not afford to do anything, really.
Yes.
So I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to have to learn how to fix these things myself. So with two little kids, I started doing little carpentry jobs, fixing drywall, and then it just kind of snowballed into this massive job. And I had some crazy things going on with my plumbing. Like I would turn on the tap in the bathroom and the toilet would start filling with hot water. So it was just wacky things going on with the plumbing. Oh yeah. It was bad. At one point I had a leak in the bathtub supply line and I didn't know what to do. So I just got a pop bottle and I wrapped it around the leaking pipe and directed it into a bucket. And so I could only have a shower as long as the bucket wasn't full. And so it was so bad. Like, just so, so bad.
Wow. How long did you have to live like that before you got it fixed?
Oh, years. Like, it just it became just tearing everything out eventually. And then I actually like deep dived into plumbing. I just started studying everything I could get my hands on. I was also dating a plumber at the time, but he was really busy. Like, he was too busy to help me. So I was like, okay, fine, I'm just gonna learn. Wow. I'm just gonna do it myself. So but he encouraged me from a distance. It was good that way. But yeah, I just ended up trying to get all the information that I could find, and to the point where I was ordering books from wherever. I was just determined to learn. And I started soldering little things together in my backyard to practice soldering. And then finally got the courage up to start tackling the house. And so I ended up replumbing the whole house in copper. And then I had a friend that was helping me, another builder, and he was kind of helping me with the structural stuff. And he was like, what are you going to do when you finish plumbing your house? Like, what are you going to do next? I'm like, I actually really like doing this. This is weird. So I was like, I don't want to stop. So yeah, so it became kind of like an obsession and just Oh, and then the word spread that I could do that. That's the thing. And then people started asking me to help. So I started helping neighbors and family. And in the meantime, I was also a graphic designer. I have a background in audio production. I was doing live sound, performing. And then the pandemic happened, which shut everything down. So I was like, well, I guess I can't do music out there anymore. I can't do my live sound anymore. I was done with graphic design. And then I'm like, well, maybe I could try doing plumbing. Like maybe I should go to school. And this seems crazy. I'm like almost 50. I became a grandmother during the pandemic. So I was like, well, you know, I might as well just go for this. So I ended up signing up for school and going to Victoria for 6 months to do the foundation program at Kmosin in Victoria. And it was one of the best things I've ever done in my life. We were still online at the beginning, which was frustrating. But then it shifted to shop. And we were lucky because it shifted like pretty close quickly after I got there.
Right.
And so just being in the big shop and like learning everything, like it was so good and so detailed, and just meeting other people, other plumbers, and talking to them about our lives. And it was wonderful. It was one of the best things I've ever done. And I would highly encourage any woman to try the trade samplers, you know, because they're just really wonderful programs. So anyway, that's what got me on the path for the plumbing. And I did really well in school, and then came back with new skills and new knowledge. And
I was going to say, I'm just going to interrupt you there because I know how well you did in school. And I think that that's something you can't just gloss over. You were the top of your class for all 3 years that you've gone. Is that correct?
Pretty close. I think so. I think for the first and the third I was.
Yeah, that's, you know, it just shows which your it,
by this much. There was some very smart people in that class.
Yeah, and I think that that goes to show your dedication and your love for it, and how much, because I've seen like online, and when you were at school, I watched how much you studied and how much effort you put into this. So I think that that's amazing, and you got the, you know, you gained the benefit of that, and I think it's something that you should share more often.
Well, you know, humble brag. I was like, I guess I just really, as an older person going back to school, you don't really have the time to waste. And so it's like now or never, this is it.
Yeah.
That's the feeling. So it was like, okay, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to go and party, and I'm not going to try and do a bunch of stuff while I'm in Victoria. It was just basically home school. And yes, then just study. So I just really, really deep dove into it. And that's, you know, that's what it takes, especially with those fast moving trades classes.
Yeah, a lot of information in a very short period of time. So you started offering your services before you had gone to school, before you actually committed to doing this as a thing. You're like, you know, people were like, oh, hey, can you help? How did you feel about doing that? Like just saying, yeah, sure, why not? I did it for me. I can do it for you. Like that seems like a pretty big jump.
I was pretty nervous about it. Like I felt like I was like, it was like a dirty secret or something. I was like, shh, don't tell anybody I'm doing this. But there's like really literally like one person and like 3,000 people like in the summer. And it was just the need is so great.
Right.
People don't really care, and obviously you're taking a big risk working on people's pipes, and so I was very, very, very careful, but it did feel risky, and I felt like I really needed to get the certification as soon as possible, because I don't want to do that to people, and also just to be able to have that, you know, that acknowledgement that I've done the work and that I've done due diligence to show up and do the best job that I can do, and that I really care about people's well-being and safety and their houses. And yeah, so it was definitely a bit scary there for a while. And then as I got farther along, I, you know, got the proper insurance and established my business, and I changed the nature of my business and got all my ducks in a row. So it felt a little better. But still, I've just been working towards getting my certification. People don't seem to really be too concerned about it, but I know what my limitations are. You know, basically, I'm allowed to fix broken things, and it goes beyond that. But definitely doing more than what, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. But we're in a very small community, and things need to work. People need water. So, And I know how to do those things. So, yeah.
You know, there's a lot to be said for the fact that what you just said about being, you know, the only plumber or one of two plumbers, and for 3,000 people, there's definitely a demand and a need. And where you know what your boundaries are, you know, within, you know, what you should be operating, I think that, you know, says a lot for your, for what it is you can do, and the level of comfort that the people that you're working with can feel, knowing that you're not going to do it if you're not confident in what it is that you're doing.
Yes, that's right. And also asking for help from other plumbers at a distance. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of guidance, which really helped. So I would, you know, if I got stuck, I could text someone and or get on the phone and ask. And that really helped as well. So knowing that there's people that have that level of confidence that can give me the information or the tools just to take that step. But at this point, I feel pretty confident in most parts of, you know, plumbing in a house. I'm always learning, though. Like, you never really can get complacent in this trade. True. You just need to stay humble, for sure. Never assume anything's going to be easy. Just be very, very careful and observant about what you're doing.
Yes. So you said that you had your graphic design business originally, and then you kind of were getting burnt out on that. Have you always been, like you said also that you did a few other jobs and stuff. What has your journey as an entrepreneur been like, as, you know, from being a graphic designer and then doing graphic design and performing a musician and then becoming a plumber? What does that self-employment journey look like for you? And how has it changed? Because I can imagine it might have become a little bit more complex.
Oh, yeah. No, it was like, there's a lot of phases in that journey. I started my business when I was like 21 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I had just become a mother, and I ended up actually, originally, I was a children's entertainer and a clown. And so I used my businesses for that. I did puppet theaters and face painting and balloon animals. And I worked with a few big companies like the Public Dream Society, and they would have these crazy public events with like puppets, massive puppets, and like bands, and it was really fun. And I would be hired to do face painting for all these different events. So, so that was my umbrella with my company was for children's entertainment originally, and then I sort of morphed into like graphic design as I went, because I actually self-taught myself like Photoshop and Illustrator and all those things. I was able to source software, so I just learned. Wow. I actually bought a computer from this guy secondhand and begged him not to delete everything off of the hard drive, like, because he had all of the Adobe products. And he's like, don't ever tell anybody I did this. Gave me his
computer, keep it a secret,
loaded with like early versions. Oh yeah, it was really illegal. but it was great, because I had no money, I had no experience of this, and I was able to like sit down and learn. So I learned all of those programs and ended up doing graphic design for many years because of that. And but I also did what else did I do? Film. I did film titling for film. I ended up being a teacher at the film school here, a composer at the film school. Wow. I did cleaning for a while, cleaned cabins for a long time. But I always noticed broken plumbing when I was cleaning cabins.
That's like, funny.
Well, that's not right. Yeah. So I also told one lady, I was like, there's something wrong with your bathtub drain. Because I was cleaning the bathtub and I saw a little spider like crawl out of it. And I'm like, that's not right. And I was like, I bet that's leaking. I told her, I'm like, I think your bathtub drain is leaking. And sure enough, we looked in, like, it was this little closet in a wall behind, and I looked behind and it was just dumping water into her crawl space.
Oh, wow. She's
like, how did you know? I'm like, I just had a feeling. Just noticed. So even like throughout that, there was like kind of the plumbing was coming in here and there. So
Interesting.
that's, I don't, that's sort of a convoluted answer to your question, but my business has taken lots and lots of little detours and winding paths, and but
Yeah.
mostly like multimedia, and then landed into plumbing later.
Yeah, wow. And I love how many different
Yeah.
things that you've done, because I think it just goes to show that there's this diverse, like, person that you are that does so many different things. And to end up doing this, I think it just seems really fitting. Like it kind of fills your creative need as well as your fixing need and your playing need and all of the things. I think that it's a good demonstration of what it can do for people. So I want to talk about your business, because I think that this is really important, because I know that being on a small island, it's not like you have a lot of resources at hand, so when it means going to the mainland if you need to get supplies or having them delivered, like it's not as easy as someone that is in a hub area that has like the wholesalers handy. How do you manage, being in a small town and running your business and the scheduling and those things that can become really overwhelming, because it's like, oh, okay, not only does it take 3 days to get to the wholesaler for the part to get there, for example, then you need to actually get to there, or it needs to get to you. So there's this extra layer of complexity that adds in. How do you manage all that?
That's a good question. Generally, I keep stock on hand because I know that I'm going to need something at some point, and it's not going to be at the store, or there won't be enough of something. So I don't want to deplete the resources of the hardware store. They've been amazing, but I always think about some person, poor person coming in to get like something, and I bought it all. So I'm like, okay, no. I end up sending the courier for like every week, sometimes twice a week, depending on what's going on. They've been amazing. They'll go to Sherritt for me. They'll go to Van Isle for me. And then I have really good relationships with the suppliers in Victoria. So I, I'm kind to them and nice to them, talk to them. Just they know that I'm limited, so they try and help me out by getting stuff ready on the fly, like last minute sometimes. And then yeah, the courier helps me to stay here because otherwise I would have to go weekly into Victoria and then I miss a day for work. So that's how I've managed to do that, is keeping inventory and then sending the courier in my place. So
Oh, that's good. That's
yeah.
good. And so you grew quick within a very short period of time. You went from, thinking you could do the, not even thinking about doing it for people, just people asking you to do it. And then you thought, well, maybe I need to go to school. And you went to school, and then you actually started, committing to this as a, this is your thing. And then when you did, you grew exponentially. Tell us about that growth and how you've managed it.
That's a good question as well. I'm actually honestly a little overwhelmed because I went from about 40 customers to, and that's all word of mouth. There's no advertising or anything. 40 customers to over 200 in a year and a half. And it is a little crazy, honestly. I'm still a little overwhelmed trying to find a way to like make systems work so they're really streamlined. I'm lacking some, business education, so I've had to learn on the fly a lot of the time. But the need is very great, and if you have the skills and you show up and you're reliable, then the word just spreads. I haven't had to do anything really to find business. It finds me, and then people talk on Facebook, so they're just like, call Jenny, call Jenny, call Jenny, call Jenny. Here's your phone number. Like, ah. So I had like seven messages yesterday, one day.
And
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good problem to have when you're that busy. And at the same time, I know that one of your biggest challenges is that you don't like to say no because you like to help people. And I think that, although very noble, at the same time, I can imagine that that's really hard on you. So what are you doing? And I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, because I know where you've been and what you've gone through. What are you going to do this year to prioritize yourself?
Well, the thing that I started doing when I went to school last time was I started doing yoga in the morning and getting up really, really early, like 4 in the morning. And I do like half an hour to 50 minutes of yoga every day. And that's helped me so much physically and strength and just like, and like flexibility. And I like, just, it's helped me heal a lot of issues. It's anyway, that really helps. And then also just trying to block off periods of time in a row, which can be very challenging. At Christmas, it was very quiet, which is awesome.
Oh, good.
It was great.
Good.
And so I was able to have some good long time with my family, and just, it was really weird though. I didn't know what to do with myself. and then being self-employed, I can just say, well, I'm just taking this day off.
Yes.
Because I have to, like, you know, mental health day or whatever, or just like, just lie on the floor.
Yeah.
It's okay. Doing music, playing my instruments, going to the ocean, seeing my granddaughter, those things are really important. But yeah, definitely that has been a challenge, because it's so overwhelming. And I want to just like pack the jobs in, but it's not always reasonable. And then one job will go sideways and need something else, and then more attention, and then it just shuffles everybody down. But luckily everybody's pretty patient, and like sometimes they have to be so patient, because I just like, I can't do it all, or like a part will take forever to come in, or just you know, you just got to do what you can do. So
I mean, and that's fair. And I think they probably understand that, because the nature of, you know, living in a small community on an island, I'm pretty sure they know the struggles that exist in running a business there, especially, you know, in your industry. So I wanted to talk about you. You are one of the original members of the Elite Warrior Women, our community group for women business owners in the industry. Because I was thinking about when you and I met. And I can't even remember how we got connected. I don't know if you remember, but I can't remember how we got connected. I remember we had a conversation and you like had a lot going on, you know, very little time. You were growing and growing. And one of the things I thought, because I had met so many people like you, was to start this community for women business owners. And you were one of our original members. And can you share with us, you know, what was it that attracted you to the group? And what has your experience been like?
Well, I think that originally we met on Facebook via the BC Women in Trades group, I think. And I had asked a question about setting up the back end of my business so that it made sense, and how to organize receipts, I think. It was something like that.
Oh, maybe.
And then
yes.
I got all these answers, and then you reached out to me and suggested having a consultation, which was great because I really needed some guidance. And so we had a short consultation, and then you told me about your group, and it took me a little while to get organized to join it. It's been really helpful because I feel like everyone's at a different caliber of business than me. Like they're like, you know, doing $1 million contracts, and I'm like, I pulled a tree out of a toilet today. That actually happened. So
that's exciting.
So I feel like I have a lot of growing to do, and it's good to surround yourself with people that are better at it than you, because then you can learn. So it's been great, actually. And nobody has ever been like, oh, you don't know enough or whatever. So I feel like it's a really supportive group that I can ask business related questions to, or just gripe about certain people or whatever's going on. And it's been really supportive. So I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah. I think that's what I love about it, is that there's such a diverse range of experience. There's people who, you know, everything from being in the trades, being hands-on, to just wanting to flip houses and starting there, and kind of from small businesses barely starting to multi-million-dollar businesses. And I think that the range of experience and background, like even, you know, not even just in the industry, but just life experience. And I think that that's what, you know, so much value that you bring, is that you have such a wide range of experience in life and managing people, that, you know, that in itself is a value that is brought to the group. And I think that that is value to everybody. So because of, you know, your experience in the trades and starting your business and all that you've done, what would you, like, if you were to go back 5 years, because I think that was kind of the, it seems like that was maybe the time as all this was happening for you, 5 to 7 years, maybe. If you could go back to that time where you hadn't yet committed to it, but it seemed kind of interesting as far as, you know, doing that, the work in the trades, what would you tell yourself at that point, knowing what you know now?
I probably would have done more business classes or something. I probably would have done like something to help me understand that side of it a little deeper. Even though I've had a business for a long time, it's mm-hmm. just, I haven't really gotten the scope of what that means for me. And so I've had to ask for a lot of help in that area. So if that would have helped me now more, but I mean, I'm grateful that I have this support now and I'm just doing my best, but I feel like I'm definitely going to have to delegate to a certain extent just because of that. And but maybe that's a good thing, because other people's strengths can step in for the parts where you're weak and help you grow. So definitely I think I would tell myself that, and then also to be confident because and be strong in what you offer, because you do have to deal with a lot of different personalities doing this job, and there's a lot of doubt of your skills from certain people, and you have to kind of prove yourself, and sometimes that can be difficult. And that I don't have to work for people that don't treat me with respect. So I've gotten tougher with that. There has been some ripples because of that.
Yeah, I just want to highlight that point, because I think that a lot of women in our industry struggle with that, in that they're mistreated, just whether they're not taken seriously, they're not respected, whatever it is. And I just want to highlight that and say it again, is that you don't need to do work for people that don't respect you. You have that choice. And even whether you're an employing yourself or as an employee, I encourage people to never allow themselves to be disrespected, and don't accept that. You don't have to be in those environments. So I think that's a really, really good point. Thanks for sharing that. And one last question that I wanted to ask you is that you commented that you kind of built with your hands and you love building things, and you were in shop class and loved shop class. And there was never the encouragement to pursue that type of thing as a career, because that was my same experience, like for me. And so I know that we're close to the same age. So I think we are the same age. So I think that is a really,
we're the same age.
Yeah. And I think that what's really important about that is that not a lot has changed since 30 years ago when we left high school. What do you think we can do now? And I know that things have changed and there's certainly some effort, but what do you think we can do now to encourage more women or even underrepresented groups to pursue something like, you know, the trades that they might be actually interested in and don't see it as an option?
I think it really comes down to that you can't be what you don't see. So being visible in what you do and being proud of it and sharing knowledge when you can. I absolutely will be hiring someone eventually, and maybe more than one person. I feel like there's a duty to pass the torch on to the next generation. So especially with a skilled trade like this, where you have a red seal and you're able to take on an apprentice, like I really feel very strongly about passing that torch on and the knowledge on to someone else, and likely will be like women or someone that's underrepresented, like just making sure that you create a path for other people to follow is pretty, like it's a duty to me.
Oh, that's interesting.
To do that, because otherwise it's just not going to happen, right? But also just, yeah, encouraging them to think about it.
And I think that's an interesting perspective, because I think a lot of people talk about, getting into the schools and letting people know that, you know, these are options, and for you to, you know, consider actually being seen and creating the path for people and kind of bringing them along with you, I think is a great way of doing it, especially in a small community, when you can offer those opportunities to young people. I think that's great. So if people want to get in touch with you or connect with you and learn from you, where can they get in touch with you?
You can find me on Instagram, Jenny Brooklyn, Brooklyn, Brooklin. That's like a music page, but it sort of turned into a plumbing music and everything page. I don't know. It's just me. Yeah. People can message me there. That's probably the easiest way to find me, and or through you. But I'm always willing to help people and talk to them about stuff. So anything I can do to encourage someone to even try a trade, I'd be happy to do that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm sure other people out there will as well. So thank you so much for being with me today. And I look forward to keeping in touch and seeing you get your red seal and grow your business to whatever it is that you want it to be.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.